When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I am a writer for the Viking Age, as well as bring me the news and zone coverage. And he is Adam Patrick, a managing editor at the Viking Age. We do this every Monday and Thursday right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. And in special occasions, we do it on Tuesday like we are right now. But if you miss us, you can listen to us on Apple and Spotify the very next day. However you enjoy the show, like, comment, share, subscribe, so you never miss a new episode. Adam, I don't feel like small talk today, so I'm just going to dive right into that, if that's okay with you. Ed Donatell got fired right after, mere hours after we went off the air on Thursday, actually. Ed Donatell was relieved of his duties as defensive coordinator. By now, you know the stats of the Vikings defense. Last season, they were 28th in points allowed, 31st in total defense. They made Daniel Jones look like Steve Young in the wild card round, and this had to happen. This had to happen. So what do you think?
Oh, yeah, it was inevitable. I think you could kind of see people were questioning what was the problem with, like, Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah during their end-of-season press conference, why they looked so, like, disheveled and disgruntled after a 13-win season, and it was probably because they're about to fire the defensive coordinator, or they already did. And then they did on the day after, with a statement instead of announcing it to, the public and taking questions, which I didn't have a problem with. Like, they didn't want to sit there and, like, maybe potentially put their foot in their mouth and say something that they didn't want to. And they wanted, seems like a regime that likes to have control of, you know, their own narrative. They don't want things to be kind of developed that It is out of their control. So they got rid of Donatell. That was, like I said, inevitable. Defense was terrible. He didn't make adjustments. If he did, they didn't last very long. Wasn't able to really use the personnel that he had very well. Not that he was given the best personnel, but he just wasn't able to make the most of it. Maybe like some other people would have. It just wasn't working out. But I applaud, you know, Kevin O'Connell for realizing he made a mistake and not continuing on this, you know, this relationship, because it's something that had to be fixed, and it's something that prevented the Vikings probably from reaching, you know, even higher goals than they did this season. And now they get to find someone different to run the defense who has a very low bar to clear now. So, you know, that's the excitement for the person coming in. It's like expectations are, you know, not going to be very, very high at first because they don't have much, you know, much room to do any worse. So, it was a decision that needed to be made, and they made it. So it was good.
I do know that there was some criticism as far as, like, how they handled it. Like, why aren't you asking questions?
Yeah, I know a lot of people in the media.
What are they going to ask?
Like, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
hey, so you fired Ed, huh? Like, did you think about doing, I mean, did you think about doing it back after the Detroit game? Did you, you know, what is that? I mean, right. It was what it was. I mean, when you think about it, because, like I said, everybody knows the stats. They can almost recite them by heart at this point.
Yeah.
I think it was, you know, I think we've talked about this a little bit, but I think it was a little bit of both. I think it was Ed Donatell refusing to adapt his scheme to play to the strengths of the players that he had. And I think it was a lack of personnel. Like, there, I mean, you had about what? I mean, every corner on the team probably ran like a 4-5-5-40, which, as if you watch playoff football, everybody is fat. I mean, there are linebackers running straight. stride. Yeah, Duke Shelley was about it, but he's also 5'9". So that right. might be a problem going forward.
Yep.
But I mean, you got linebackers running stride for stride with CeeDee Lamb. You got, you know, Zeke Elliott snapping the football. I guess like running back centers are now a thing. Like, hey, you're running back. You don't matter. Go snap the football and get wrecked. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just had to happen. And I guess now, I don't really have too much to say about it. I think they handled it well in hindsight, just having the talk. I don't know if it was like one of Kevin O'Connell's post-game speeches, like back at the beginning of training camp, you and I set out on this mission to fix the defense. And quite honestly, it was horrible. It was terrible. We kept working and fighting and we never got there, but that's okay. Because I'm going to fire you and I'm going to find a better defensive coordinator.
Did he give him a game ball afterwards?
I bet you he did.
On the way
like
out.
2021 season, it's just got like the stats written
the
on
rankings.
It. The rankings. Like 28th in defense. You tried. Oh, man.
Not the absolute worst, but still terrible. And also the thing with the asking the questions thing from, the beat writers or whatever. He's not Mike Zimmer. He's not going to give you answers that you want. He's going to give you cliche answers. So even if they got to ask questions, he's going to be like, he's going to give you general cliche, you know, coach speak. He's not going to give you Mike Zimmer where he's like, did you watch this season? He was terrible. He's never going
to
say
that. I wanted to fight him in a bar.
Yeah, he's like, never going to say that.
Yeah. Anyway, now that Ed Donatell is gone, the Vikings have started their defensive coordinator search. They have already interviewed Saints co-defensive coordinator and defensive line coach Ryan Nielsen. They have requested permission to talk with Seahawks defensive assistant Sean Desai, who was a finalist for the defensive coordinator position last time around, and Steelers linebacker coach Brian Flores, who obviously is the former head coach of the Miami Dolphins and is embroiled in a lawsuit with the NFL. Do any of these names pique your interest?
Well, I think you got to look at Brian Flores because the Dolphins defense was at least top 15 for the most part when he was their coach. And then the Patriots defense was pretty good when he was on that staff as well. And I believe he was the play caller for some of those seasons. He runs a much more aggressive defense, blitzes a lot more. I believe he blitzed 30% of the time in all three seasons with the Dolphins, and I think above 35 or 38% in his most recent two seasons with the Dolphins. The Vikings blitzed 18% of the time this season, so that's a gigantic difference in scheme and everything. So things would look a lot different, and I think they're just looking for someone who's more, you know, more adaptable, more how they run things on the offensive side of the ball. Maybe a younger mind, not necessarily, because maybe there's an older guy who's not old like Ed Donatell, but like 50s, late 40s, who's more adaptable. But I like that. I like the Sean Desai one. He's been in the NFC North for a while. He's with the Seahawks, but he was with the Bears for a handful of years on their staff. And when he was the defensive coordinator for that 1 year with them, their past defense, I think, was like third in the league. So plenty of good candidates. And then even the guy from the Saints. The Saints defense was very good this season, top 10 unit, even though they didn't really have much help on offense. They still did very well. And he's been coaching that defensive line, I believe, since 2017. He's had guys like, you know, Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport, and guys like that. So the guys they picked so far, I think, are good. I think they're probably going to interview more guys. I don't know if they're waiting on a few, because some of the guys they might be interested are also probably being interviewed for head coaching jobs. So they might be waiting to hear about some of those guys. But I think the three that they have so far, they've requested an interview, I think are pretty good. I would rank Flores at the top, Desai second, and probably Nielsen third.
And Nielsen's kind of interesting to me once I dove in. Like, if you're coming to me looking for scheme like suggestions or whatever, you're in the wrong spot, because I'm more kind of just like him. And I mean, when you think about this defensive coordinator, we're not looking for somebody to turn this group into the 85 Bears. I mean, we're going to talk about personnel in just a second. And I don't think that's possible to.
Can we update that reference? Can we update it to like the 2000 Ravens or something?
Because sure.
People always use the 85 Bears and it's 2020. That's like almost 50 years ago.
Which other? So you could go
2000 Ravens, 2001 Ravens, Bucks or something like
Legion
that.
Legion of Boom.
Yeah. There we go.
There, like some say. Other Ravens probably in the 2010s. I don't know. 85 Bears. It stands out.
Well, it just... it reminds me because I was like getting food the other day and there were some kids, like college age kids were there, and they're like, have you ever seen the movie Old School? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh wow, I'm old, because like that feels like that movie just came out. And I thought about it, I was like, that almost came out 20 years ago. So I'm like,
oh, that's super weird, because I made an Old School reference in the office the other day. Yeah. And like my coworker, I think he's like 10 years younger than me. I'm like, yeah, that was a funny movie. And I'm thinking, oh my God, that came out when I was like sophomore, and it's like 20 years old. Like even like songs on the radio, like I'll hear some song and be like, that was a good out. Dude, that was 20 years ago. Wow. Melly
song. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Just ugh. Anyway, outside of me crying, Ryan Nielsen actually was a finalist for the LSU defensive coordinator job a couple years ago. Which is a high profile, like that's like, you know, Alabama offensive coordinator, right? As when it comes to college jobs, like people get that job to prepare themselves for the NFL, basically. The Saints defense, not terrible. I mean, if they wound up with Nielsen, I wouldn't mind that. A name that hasn't been mentioned, and I think Purple Daily was first on this, but I'm very interested to see if they at least bring him in, is Jim Leonard, who spent, he was at Wisconsin on their coaching staff since 2016, always highly regarded as a coach, but he was defensive coordinator at Wisconsin from 2017 until last season, was the interim head coach in 2022 before Wisconsin found out Luke Fickell was available. Fickell. I mean, the guy bleeds Badger red. Like if you cut him open, like it's not just red, it's Badger red. But I mean, the guy knows defense. Wisconsin's defenses were a house over the past couple of seasons in particular. If they brought him in and they wound up hiring him, I think it would be a great hire. I don't know what he wants to do, if he wants to find another college coaching job to maybe get a head coaching job somewhere. But I think that would be a fine one, since he's probably not going to coach at Wisconsin like he thought he was, at least for a couple of years, because Luke Fickell is very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's another candidate who I believe is having his second interview with the Houston Texans today for their head coach opening. And that's Giro Evero, the defensive coordinator for the Broncos, who worked with Kevin O'Connell when they were both on the Rams staff in 2020 and 2021. He was the safeties coach. Then he got an opportunity to be the defensive coordinator for the Broncos this season. Did very well despite their lack of success pretty much everywhere else. He did well. He's in his mid-40s, and I think that's someone to keep an eye on as well if he doesn't end up getting a head coaching job. And then if he doesn't end up staying with the Broncos, who could be hiring, who knows, Sean Payton, you know, who does he want to bring on? Does he want to bring Vic Fangio with him or whatever? So that's someone to keep an eye on too as well. What about, I was thinking too, I did something like last week about like some candidates that they could look at. There's Gus Bradley as well, who was on the Colts staff.
I believe he's from Zumbrota, correct?
He's from Minnesota, yeah.
He went to Minnesota. Okay.
And he went to North Dakota State, I want to say, for college or whatever. And he's had he was behind the Legion of Boom defense with the Seahawks, and then he had top 10 defenses with the Chargers. Didn't do too hot with the Colts this year, like numbers wise, but DVOA, I guess they were like 14th in the league. So not too terrible considering what he was working with, you know, Jeff Saturday and all that stuff. So that's someone to keep in mind too. And then Vance Joseph.
Right.
And then Vance Joseph with the Cardinals, who used to be a head coach. And until this year, the Cardinals had pretty good defense, and he's in a more aggressive coach too. Blitz style, and I believe he's a three-four scheme, so they wouldn't have to do much adjusting wise, probably. So there's some other guys to keep in mind for the job opening as well.
You know, I mean, whoever gets the job just has their hands full, in my opinion, because this defense is going to be flipped upside down this offseason. Yeah. And getting more hints at that. Za'Darius Smith has erased all Vikings references from his Instagram account.
Apparently, he does that every year.
Okay.
So because Packers fans chimed in too, and were like an annual tradition. So apparently does that every year.
Patrick Peterson questioned if he knew what down it was, or Kirk Cousins knew what down it was on the problem. Patrick Peterson may not have either, because he was chasing Isaiah Hodgins all game.
Right. But
Harrison Smith looked like he wanted to fight someone in the parking lot, so I don't know if he's exactly thrilled to be coming back. Eric Kendricks and Jordan Hicks need walkers to get on the field. Danielle Hunter might not be here if they decide to trade him, which we could talk about this. Would you trade Danielle Hunter this offseason?
If someone offers you a first round pick, 1,000%. First or second, even a second, take that. Because you can, in the draft, you can find an edge rusher pretty quickly who can make an impact. You know, how many times have we seen a rookie come in and make a big impact? Not everyone's going to be a Micah Parsons, but you can find guys pretty well who can, especially in the first couple of rounds, who can make some pretty big impacts for you. Then they're also cheaper. But I don't know. I feel like it'd have to be some kind of sign and trade deal for Danielle Hunter, because I don't think the Vikings would get any cap relief if they traded him before June 1st.
Yeah, I think like the deal with him, if I'm not mistaken, like there's just like another like pivot point. Like they have to decide whether they want to extend him.
Right.
And if you're Danielle Hunter, you're probably bringing your pressure numbers, which were one of the best in the league. You're bringing your sack totals, which is also one of the best in the league, and being like, I'm right up there with Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa and Micah Parsons and all those guys. I want that money. And the Vikings don't have the money because they're paying the quarterback $35 million. So
Justin Jefferson and T.J. Hockenson and Christian Darius.
There are a lot of people who are trade him. I mean, it depends. I mean, you can't just trade him just to trade him, because, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people they need to replace on this defense next year. But it's not an enviable position, I guess, is what I'm getting.
Yeah. I don't know. If you're the defensive coordinator, you kind of it's kind of like a blank slate, I feel like, because you can't be any worse. And you can kind of pick and choose who you want to keep and who you want to bring and how you want to use them. So I think there's some advantages of coming in and kind of being, and Kevin O'Connell doesn't seem like he's really like very hands on when it comes to defense. I think the reason he hired Ed Dantel was kind of to be like, I'm going to do the offense, you do the defense, and it'll be all yours. And then when Kevin O'Connell had to intervene, that was kind of this, the beginning of the end for Ed Dantel. And I'm not so sure if that's what O'Connell wants to keep doing moving forward, because it didn't really work out this season. I think he might try and be a little bit more involved next season, but I think it's a unique opportunity at least. And the Vikings just won 13 games. So if you're coming from a team like the Colts or the Cardinals, you're going to be like, oh, this team is way better than the team I was just on. So like, I think I wouldn't say it's the best opening out there. Cause I think the Eagles defensive coordinator job might open up because their guy is getting interviewed for head coaching jobs too. And I think the Texans really like him. So that might be an opening as well. So, but it's a good job. It's with a good team and a good team that I think is heading in the right direction.
Well, that's enough talk about the defense. Let's talk about the offense, and more specifically, the future of the Viking offense. The Vikings have already said that Kirk Cousins will return as quarterback in 2023 in all likelihood. But what about beyond then? What about down the road? The Vikings only have 4 picks in this year's NFL draft, but maybe they want to make a trade. Maybe they want to get somebody that kind of has a little bit of upside for the future. And that name could be Trey Lance. Mike Silver of the San Francisco Chronicle reported over the weekend that the 49ers have decided that Brock Purdy has already established himself as
the future. Did you hear him last night?
I did hear Paul Heyman drop Brock in Philadelphia, nonetheless.
Yeah.
And, he probably lived to tell about it, because Paul Heyman's like a legend in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But other than that, they say Brock Purdy is the future of the quarterback position in San Francisco. Noted, unless Purdy regresses mightily or has a catastrophic injury, RIP Teddy, the 49ers could also refute this in an effort to drive up Lance's value this offseason. One NFC GM said he would be willing to give up a second round pick and something else for Lance. Well, apparently that the 49ers should call him immediately, because the other GMs are reportedly saying they would only give up a third round pick for Trey Lance. Hmm. So if you're the Viking, you got Kirk Cousins at least for next year. You don't know what you're going to do at the quarterback position, and you have a ton of win now holes to fill. Do you call the 49ers about Trey Lance?
1,000%. Given their options, heading into the offseason as far as cap-wise and draft-wise right now, they don't have a lot of opportunities to get a caliber of player like a Trey Lance. Like, if you wait for the draft, you're probably not going to get a franchise quarterback at pick 23. Chances are pretty low. If you do, you know, it's not, you know, I think Anthony Richardson was just mocked to the Vikings at their pick.
Which, if he's there, you run to the podium and you
yeah,
take him.
But he's also been viewed as like a top 10 pick as well.
Correct.
Top 15, top 10. So the chances of him being there are pretty low too. The Minnesota thing is real. The owners, you know, I think they like that. They like the thing about having Thielen there. They like guys that are from close by, and because they can market that. They can be like Minnesota kid and all that stuff. And Trey Lance, you know, I'm sure he grew up a Vikings fan, or at least, you know, went to a couple games. And I still think he has plenty of upside. He's been in the league for, what, 2 years? He started for like a year and a game at North Dakota State, and he did really well. Being with a coach like Kevin O'Connell, I think he might be able to actually be better at putting him in a position to succeed than Kyle Shanahan. Cause it seemed like Kyle Shanahan, all he wanted to do was like turn him into the next Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick and just have him run everywhere. Where Kevin O'Connell, I think he can still use some of that stuff, but I think he's gonna, cause Trey Lance has a pretty, like, he's got a pretty strong arm too. I think he can use more of his passing skills to his advantage and create some stuff. But I think so. Like, the Vikings have a kind of a late first round pick. Would you be opposed if they gave that up for Trey Lance?
A late, like, first round?
Yeah, like they're...
That's a little rich. That is a little rich. I think giving up the first rounder is a little rich. But if I'm the 49ers, I want a first round because I gave up three. You know?
Why is it rich though? Because of the small sample size that we saw?
I think it's just the other. I think it's just the other. So here's the thing. The Vikings need to fill some of the other holes, or else it won't. And yeah. I guess too, when you think about it, like the situation in Minnesota, it could be good. It couldn't be good. I mean, Kevin O'Connell rolled out the red carpet for Kellen Mond, right? Right. He's just like, we're going to give him every chance to develop. And oh yeah, he sucks. Let's get him out of here.
Yeah.
Like I think that. If you have a first round pick, gosh, that is tough. Like I feel I am higher on Trey Lance than most other, because I mean, a lot of the NFL people are like, well, you know, we've seen him in camp. We've seen him in everything. Trey Lance has only played 19 meaningful football games since graduating from high school in 2018.
Right. Yeah.
He was 42 total touchdowns, no interceptions as a redshirt. I mean, he is not Lamar Jackson. Like, to prove your point, he's a different quarterback. He's built differently. He's got a better arm than Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson's a better passer than people give him credit
for. Maybe more like a Cam Newton?
I would say so, yeah. And, I mean, he spent the entire 2020 season preparing for the draft because there were no games due to COVID. Yep. I think it was an exhibition game against either Central Arkansas or UC Davis. I have those two teams in my mind. Last year, he broke his pinky in training camp. So he looked really good. Teammates were raving about him. Breaks his pinky, sits behind Jimmy Garoppolo. He has two starts, 57.7% completion percentage. Not bad. Five touchdowns.
One of them was in a monsoon.
Hang on, I'm getting to that because
that's the preseason.
That was 2021, 2022.
Okay.
Played two games. One of them was in a monsoon.
Yeah.
And the other, he broke his ankle in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And also, this is like you mentioned, he's playing for a coach that is basically Andy from Toy Story, where he, you know, I don't want to play with you anymore. And he throws you in the trash. And you're never, remember when he pounded the table for Joe Williams? Remember when he traded up for Trey Sermon? Remember when he benched Brandon Ayuk? Most of the last season, like the guy is unstable. He is the most he gets wins. He knows what he's doing to an extent, but he's also psychotic. Mm-hmm. He also drafted Brock Purdy after he gave up three firsts. And he's like, no, this is my thing. You look at Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy was a 4-year starter at Iowa State. So like when you look at Trey Lance and you look at Brock Purdy, Purdy's actually a more polished product than Trey Lance. Lance was the third overall pick. Because of his physical tools, because he's got a bazooka attached to his neck, because he can run. Yeah. He can extend plays. He can rip off a 10-yard gain. There's a lot of things there. So, I mean, first round pick, if you want to do that, yeah, it's a little expensive, but if that's what you have to do to get it done, I guess I wouldn't be mad about it. If the Vikings had to do like a package deal, maybe you trade next year's second and this year's third to get Trey Lance. I would like that better because the deeper you go into the draft, I mean, What are you getting with a third round pick if this is true? Like, you're getting a Kellen Mond or what's the quarterback from the Texans?
Davis Mills.
I was going to call him Wyatt Davis. That's not correct.
Well, you might get a Russell Wilson.
Right. And that's super. Dak Prescott. Dak looks great right now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
How about that team media account, by the way? Like, that is hilarious.
Apparently that's normal, though. Apparently that's
the, what the Cowboys just do that. Yeah.
We just happen to notice.
Jared Jones is probably. I tell him to do that. My bash the players in the
game. Well, I think the writer who works for them now, he used to work for like CBS Sports, so he's kind of used to writing like that style. That's like maybe a little more critical, and maybe they like that. Maybe they're just real. I kind of like that though, because NFL team sites are usually it's more like puff pieces, like PR stuff, like happy go lucky. Everything's great, everything's rainbows and unicorns. And the Cowboys are like, no, Dak sucked, like he was terrible. So, yeah, that was interesting for sure.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue, but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters. Because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
As far as getting Trey Lance, I think that's something you have to explore. I know, you know, Kwesi has his connections to the Niners still, obviously, so maybe you can work something out there. And I don't know what, you know, I feel like he's going to trade down no matter what in the draft if they stick with what they have right now, because he's going to want to get more picks. So I feel like that first round pick isn't even going to be probably used by the Vikings, because Kwesi would rather have, you know, one in the second, one in the third, one in the fourth, you know, stuff like that. And then we don't know how many more picks they might get if they trade players like a Daniel Hunter, like a Dalvin Cook, or somebody else, because they could end up with more picks like that. But it's something to explore, I think, as far as, because they don't have a top five pick, so they're not going to get one of the better quarterbacks in this draft. And if they want someone on a rookie contract who they think that they can develop into, you know, useful, then, you know, I think it's something to explore.
And that's why I would prefer using that first on a rookie quarterback, because you get two more years of cheap value with that player, even though you don't know if he's going to pan out, but you don't know if Trey Lance is going to get panned out.
The Chiefs traded up like, what, 17 spots or whatever when they got Mahomes. So, yeah. You know, maybe that is something the Vikings can do. Like if they had more than four
picks in the draft.
Correct. But you can trade it. You know, that first, next year's first, you can do that too. So, like, it'll probably cost a lot more to move up. But if you want that rookie who would have, what, two more years on his contract than Trey Lance, then that's something to consider too.
Is there another quarterback that the Vikings could be looking at in the same vein as Lance that you could kind of develop and maybe groom him into Kirk's successor?
I know you put Zach Wilson on the outline, and I want absolutely nothing to do with
that. I don't either, but I only was just like, I needed five for the article, okay? Reckless speculation nothing, is a thing, okay?
Nothing to do with him, nothing to do with his mom, nothing to do with whatever.
He can go and film Disney high school specials for all I care.
Yeah, he's perfect, like, for Friday Night Lights or whatever.
The felon quarterback.
He throws just like the actors in Friday Night Lights, too.
Him and Spencer Rattler, like, both of them can just,
yeah.
like...
What? Yeah, wasn't there, like, a Netflix show that, like, Rattler was on? I think it was like, QBU or something that...
Yeah, and he was a total punk ass.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, calling out his receivers, like... I mean, there's, like, a difference... Like, guys ribbing each other, like, I'm sure, like, some of that happens, but, like, Rattler was just, like, what was it, All-American or QB1 yeah. or something?
Yeah.
Like,
QB1.
He was just mean, and it was right. like, dude, what are you, okay.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to trade for, like, who's the kid from the Ravens? Who's their backup? What's his name? Right? Is it Wright? Anthony Wright? No. Is
that right? Oh, shoot, I should put that on there. Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, Huntley. Yeah, he like, that's decent. You're gonna trade for Cooper Rush. there aren't a lot of, like, because when you get drafted now in the NFL, like, you're a rookie, you're gonna play. Like, someone like a Desmond Ridder, like, back in the day, that would have been someone to, like, be interested in and trade for, but there aren't a lot of guys just sit on the bench for, yeah,
You hear the hot take machine firing up. I got some hot names on this list.
There aren't a lot of guys. Like, you're not going to trade for Derek Carr. No. You know, you're not going to trade for Carson Wentz. You're not going to do that. Taylor Heineke. Like, there's not a lot of options. So, like, Kirk Cousins he's going to be the starter next year for sure. But next year, you know, next year's quarterback class for the draft, too, is something to keep an eye on, too, because there's a lot of good guys that are going to be in there. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do for sure.
Mine is completely unhinged. That's why the furnace fired up. So you said Zach Wilson. I don't know, man.
That's like a Ryan Leaf territory, I feel like.
Number two overall pick. Maybe. I don't know. Like, he probably won't make the article. Let's be honest there. It was just the one name that was popping in my line. I'm like, I don't really want them to do it, but I mean, they could.
Right.
Jurassic Park, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. Mac Jones is another name I put on my list. Mm-hmm. He seems like he's going to be the guy in New England still, but they have Bailey Zappe.
Yeah,
they said probably should be on this list more than Mac Jones. Yeah,
they just had a Bill O'Brien too, so I'm sure he'll want to have a quarterback.
And he said he's very excited, pulled a page out of the Adam Thielen playbook. If we're talking about draft prospects, Anthony Richardson is a guy who is very similar to Trey Lance and actually played Power 5 football.
Right.
He's got mobility, he's got a big arm, he's fun to watch, he's
big size.
I draft him in every Madden franchise I do, and I do dabble in Madden, which that game still sucks, by the way, after about 4 or 5 patches. And never say never, Justin Fields. Kwesi's not afraid to make deals within the division. Yeah. If I'm the Bears, I'm going like, give me like 5 firsts for Justin Fields. I'm doing that.
Yeah. But, yeah, that would take a lot more. That would take a lot. Because they have to convince themselves that he's not the guy, which I don't know if they've done that yet. And then, it's in your division, so you got to see him twice a year. And you give him someone like Kevin O'Connell, that could be like a game changer compared to what he has with the Bears. I'm trying to think the last team to trade within their division, like quarterback-wise, it's got to be, what, McNabb? We went from the Eagles to the Washington football team. But that was when, like, his career was done. And the Eagles were like, sure, you can have him. Sure.
And then I think the Vikings, did they trade for McNabb or did they sign him?
Certainly did.
They traded for McNabb.
Yeah. And then they realized, they're like, dude, you're done. You're done.
Let's put in Christian Pott. Oh, that's why I like your suggestions with Tyler Huntley and Bailey Zappe a little bit. I don't know. I guess good thing I didn't write the article because I would have sounded kind of stupid, but I don't know. Sometimes some hot takes are a little bit of fun. To wrap up today's episode, I was going to talk about the playoffs a little bit and kind of some of the things that happened. The Giants got 38-7 by the Eagles in the divisional round. How much do you think Daniel Jones missed Ed Donatelle this week? Honest question.
He was like, I was going to make so much money.
He got pounded so bad that they pounded the contacts right out of his skull.
It was
just sitting there and he's like, oh my God. He was like Chucky and Rugrats. It was just
confirmation that firing Ed Donatelle was the correct decision because Eagles and Vikings defense, like two totally completely opposite sides of the spectrum, but it was just like the Eagles defense allowed, or the Giants defense, like the game was closer when they didn't have their starters in like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it was weird. And then, it just made the Vikings look worse. I saw a lot of Vikings catching strays from tweets on Saturday when the Giants were getting creamed. And I'm like, come on, their season's done. Leave them alone. but it's just further confirmation.
Stop, they're already dead.
Yeah. And then Mahomes got hurt against the Jaguars. That was a good game. I know the Chiefs won by like a good margin, but I like where the Jaguars are heading, like with Peterson and Trevor Lawrence looks really, really good. They can get some more pieces on that team. I think they're going to be good. And then the Bills and Bengals, which I wanted to cut my ears off because Tony Romo wouldn't shut up. I had a tweet that kind of blew up about him because he was like so good when he first came in. He was like refreshing, gave all this insight into like what the plays might be, what these quarterbacks were thinking. He cannot go like a second without talking. Like he hates silence now, and it is so annoying. I'm thinking like if he was on the call for the Minneapolis Miracle, he would have ruined it. Because he would have had like the telestrator going on like right before the play. He would have been like interrupting Jim Nance on the call and been like, can you believe it? And it's just, I'm over it. I'm over the Tony Romo, experience. It's just like, I just noticed like he doesn't shut up. Like just sometimes silence is good. Like just let the play go on. Let people react naturally. But no, like he has to comment on everything. He has to give a instant replay telestrator thing after every single play. Like, dude, chill out.
It is funny because I do remember one of my criticisms of Joe Buck was that he would do the silence thing and let everything breathe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't you have anything to like say? But then I'm like,
that's good.
Now I kind of like notice it's like, okay, there's a reason he was doing that because, sometimes it is just crowd noise and like sometimes it's just so loud. Like even Joe Buck's call, the miracle, I mean, it was four or five words.
It was good. And then he was done.
Yeah. Yeah. Sideline, touchdown, unbelievable. That's and then it. He was like quiet was for like a minute.
Yeah.
And just let it breathe. Like that is an awesome call.
We would have had replays from like seven different angles and Tony Romo like outlining what happened here and why this person threw this coverage and like it would have been terrible.
Can I stand over Joe Burrow for a minute?
I mean
that guy is so freaking, I mean, people call him Joe Burr, which I hate that nickname, but
have other nicknames too though.
I've called him Tiger King, which is legit. I don't know, that won't catch on though. People but I mean the guy, I mean, he does not care. He does not care about anything. And then, you ask him about it and he says he doesn't care. Like, what do you think about your career window? Or what do you think about the window? Oh, it's my entire career.
Yeah.
Oh, these guys, they all bought, and bravo to the Bengals, by the way. They've at least spared us neutral site NFC championship or conference championship games for like 1 year while the NFL owners like probably will just drool over and vote for it anyway. But I mean, they're asking him after the game, they're like 50,000 tickets were sold in Atlanta. What do you think? Go get your refunds.
I like him for sure.
I hope they be, I mean, I like Patrick Mahomes too. I don't hate it. Like I, it is funny, like watching Mahomes and like the State Farm commercials. And I'm like, oh, I like Patrick Mahomes. And then I think about like people in the AFC West and they must like look at him like Aaron Rodgers, like his wife is annoying. I hate this guy. He's got the stupid State Farm commercials and everything else. And I'm like, oh, but I mean, Vikings fans have that added layer of pain because they had to sit through Brett Favre too. So, I mean, you don't know what real pain is if you're in the AFC East.
Listen, I picked the Niners and Bengals. They're still alive.
Gonna throw it back that. To.
But what do you, speaking of, Bengals and Bills, what do you make of the latest Diggs fiasco? Not fiasco.
By the way, I got my new decoration up just in time. You know, he has kind of a point. It's easier to criticize him. Remember Randy Moss walking off the field. Remember all that stuff. I'm not defending what Stephon Diggs did.
And he didn't really even do that much.
He was screaming, get me the ball. And like everybody.
What's going on?
The biggest thing that annoys me with like Diggs, especially from Vikings fans, is like Adam Thielen pulls the same crap.
Oh, yeah.
And like, wow, you know, he's from Minnesota. Like, whatever. Like, he just wants the ball. Like, Stephon Diggs, like, he's the devil. He should go to hell. And, you know, why is he leaving the field early?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar to Vikings fans also.
He had 10 targets on Saturday or Sunday or whatever. So it's not like he wasn't getting the ball thrown to him. But Josh Allen just, I think his elbow was hurt for most of the year.
And like you said, too, I mean, it's the standard the team has set. Sean McDermott didn't play it into a big deal. He's just like, he's frustrated. Like all of us.
He's probably, you know, he's probably trying to get all that like yarn out of his eye from the like the mask that he wore on the way into the. I saw that. I don't know what fashion is. I was like, I don't know what this is. He looks like the Scarecrow from Batman Begins or whatever. But yeah, I don't have a problem with Diggs. He's been like this. He's a fiery guy. Like, he's been one of my favorite players ever since he came in the league. Like, I never really had a problem with anything that he did except for, you know, when he skipped practice and he did all the, like, there's truth or all rumors press conference where he had, like, a hoodie covering his face. That was really the only problem I had with him, with the Vikings. Cause then he was kind of making it about himself. And that's when things get out of sorts. And I don't think he's doing that. I think he's frustrated. He knows he can help the team and he's sick of losing in the playoffs when they're, you know, keep being a Super Bowl favorite. And he's like, we're a good team. Why do we keep, you know, not making the Super Bowl? So, and he knows he doesn't have much time left, not much time left, but his career is getting near the end of his prime at least.
And would you rather have him do stuff like this and show like he cares, or would you rather,
Or would you rather have his wife post an Instagram story with, oh, maybe we might be done in Buffalo this year. We don't know.
LOL.
After you win 13 games.
Just, it whatever. Let me ask you this before we go.
What was the other game we did? Oh, we talked about all of them. Okay.
Yeah, 49. Well, what was Kellen Moore trying to do on that final play? I think I saw an explanation that he was trying to get another skill player on the field to replace him with the offensive line, but
why should
it was just funny? Like the linebackers probably like Zeke is snapping the ball. I'm just gonna knock him into next week and like speed everything up. But
why should the Cowboys keep Mike McCarthy? Because I'm struggling to find any reasons. I know they went to the playoffs or whatever, but like Sean Payton's out there. Why is Jerry Jones not going after him?
Seems you like should at least give him a call. Would you be interested in coaching the Cowboys?
It seems easy. You could bring Sean Payton in. You bring Mike Zimmer as your defensive coordinator.
Also, Kellen Moore should not be a head coach. Like he's
no. It's funny to see like some of the guys that interviewed for head coaching jobs last year, like kind of just falling flat on their face in the playoffs this year. Like Kellen Moore, Leslie Frazier, guys like that. Just not the hot coaching candidates that they were a year ago. That's how it goes. But D'Amico Ryans, I think he's going to be a great head coach wherever he lands. He's been doing
awesome. Yeah, it was interesting that he did two interviews and then canceled the last two because I got to get back and do the game plan. And I don't know. That seems a little corny to me, but at the same time.
I mean, he's trying to win a Super Bowl. So.
Right. But I don't know. I'm so into this team. I'm gonna cancel on you. So
I mean, look at Kevin O'Connell. They waited. The Vikings waited until after the Super Bowl to hire him, and that worked out. So you know, hiring the first guy isn't always the right way to go. I think Kyle Shanahan was delayed too because I think he was hired after that Falcons Patriots Super Bowl.
Just excited for the douchebag versus douchebag matchup in the NFC Championship game. The late 40s man who wears the fat flat brimmed hats and the other guy who looks like he does legal.
Sirianni, he's so good for Philly. He's perfect fit for Philly.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, he had that one thing where he's like looking into the camera and just like, God, somebody should punch this guy in the face. I would pay that on pay-per-view. Like
he just compared Nick Sirianni,
he's gonna get punched in the face. Here's my money.
Did you just hear him compare Jalen Hurts to Michael Jordan? That's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. He's just like Michael Jordan.
It's like they took a fan from section three, whatever, or like pull like he fan from the 300 level of the link. They threw him in that little slammer they got underneath the stadium. And then they're like, all right, you can either go to court or you can coach the Eagles. He's like, I'm going to coach the Eagles.
You can go to court in our stadium.
Yeah, that's so awesome, by the way. They have a court in the stadium that, you know, they can,
I don't know if they have one in the new one, but I know they have one in the old one.
I know they have holding cell. Holding cells are like a common thing in stadiums now. Like I know the Golden Knights hockey arena, T-Mobile arena in Vegas, they have a holding cell. Yeah.
Well, that old jail.
There's holding cells and courts everywhere, bro. They're just holding cells in the locker room. They don't have a locker room. They just have like separate holding cells.
Yeah, it's like it looks like the elimination chamber. Like, geez, it just opens up when it's time for you to come out.
Speaking of which, how jacked are you for Saturday? The old Royal Rumble coming up.
Oh, I love the Rumble. I think behind WrestleMania is probably my favorite pay-per-view of the year, even though most of the time it's a big letdown. You're like, who's it gonna be? And it's like the last guy's like Rey Mysterio, and you're like, okay, great, that was big letdown.
I know people are excited for The Rock, but
is he gonna be there? Has that been confirmed?
It has not been confirmed. I hope that's one guy that you do not announce ahead of time. I mean, you'd get big tickets if you did, but
no, you can't do the Cody Rhodes thing. But I saw there's still like there's a good amount of spots like still open. Like I know they announced guys ahead of time for the Rumble, but there's still probably like I think like 10 spots still open. So I'm curious to see like I'm guessing, you know, like Bron Breakker is going to be in there, and like they'll bring some old guys back.
Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, like Booker T or something like that, and you know, Sami Zayn will be in there. That would be hilarious if he won. That would be interesting for sure. But I think Cody Rhodes is going to win on the guy's side, and I think Rhea Ripley is going to win on the women's side.
I think Rhea on the women's side, but I'm not 100% sure because the last time we saw Beth Phoenix, you know, she caved her skull in. And when I think of a WrestleMania match, I'm like, that would be pretty damn good. If it's not her, Liv Morgan would be awesome. But I mean, Liv Morgan
and Becky Charlotte Lynch again. Really... Because Charlotte's back.
I love Bex, but yeah. Becky, Charlotte, 75. I mean, that's becoming like John Cena, Randy Orton of the women's division.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they always put on good matches, but Brock Roman. That's, again, more recent examples, right? That's what we're going with here today.
But no more 85 Bears. Not allowed anymore.
No more 85 Bears. Not allowed. I don't know. I don't really know what to think of the women's. They haven't even announced who's in it.
Like, they have like 8 people already.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if it's like going to be filled with NXT women, which there are some women in NXT that are pretty good that could fill those spots. But as far as the men's
like
go,
Lita and like Trish and all that stuff, you know, they're going to be there.
Men's goes, if The Rock shows up, he's winning.
You think he's going to be in it? I thought he would just show up like at the end with like whoever won and do like a stare down or whatever.
That'd be like, if The Rock is in the Rumble, he'll win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I don't think he's wrestling until WrestleMania. I don't think he's going
to wrestle. There's too much of a risk there.
Yeah.
And plus, he'd have to be in, like, peak condition.
Who could even be, like, a shock, like, besides him?
To win it?
Or just to be in it. Like, John Cena?
There was a big money offer, apparently, for Stone Cold Steve Austin
to
fight Roman Reigns.
Did see that.
That has to be a Saudi show, though. Like, the amount... Like, I honestly want to go on. I mean,
triple threat with Goldberg.
Down. Yeah, triple threat with Goldberg. Can we bring back Yokozuna? Like, what? Yokozuna's dead? Just throwing another sumo wrestler. They won't know the difference. I think it'll either be Cody or Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn might be a little bit of a surprise, but I mean, Roman's talking about Sami's ultimate test.
That's perfect.
Maybe that's win the Royal Rumble, so I don't have to fight.
Yeah, it's perfect to be set up like that. After what I watched, like the first part last night of the trial or whatever, and when Jay interrupted or whatever, that was like, oh, okay, all right, not where I thought this was going, but
that, all right. So I last theory, then we'll get out of here. But I mean, Jay versus Roman, Jay Uso winning the Royal Rumble would be awesome as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, if The Rock can't get into ring shape, like he said, he can't get into ring shape for WrestleMania. Have The Rock be the guest referee, have Jay versus Roman in the main event. And I mean, that would be a fun main event. But
how can The Rock not get into ring shape? He works out like 9 times a day.
He's I'm out of shape, guys. Takes off his shirt.
Yeah. Like, he's working out while he's sleeping. Like, he's fine.
He's just got like this,
sorry dude, you can't use that.
His bedroom
excuse.
Is actually just another yeah. gym. He doesn't actually yeah. sleep. He works out a little bit less intently.
You can't look like that and be like, "Oh, I need to get in shape." No, you can't. You can't do that. Like, if you're Shawn Michaels or The Undertaker, okay, but you can't look like that and be like, "Ooh, I need some time. I gotta get in shape." No, it's not gonna cut it.
Well, on that note, talking about former Vikings turned, The Rock wasn't a Vikings, but his cousin is, Roman Reigns, yeah. former Vikings turned WWE champions. That's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday and Thursday right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. If you miss us, we're on Apple and Spotify the very next day. I am Chris Shad. He is Adam Patrick. We'll talk to you again on Thursday right here on the Viking Age podcast.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.